KQ4LOO Mobile.
N0TR, stationary.
How are you this morning?
Doing pretty good. I just finished up breakfast a while ago and sitting here and just looking at AM radio outlet for the fun of it. Rusty come over and got most of my new computer set up. And then I was trying to get this program set up for my BandScope. But when it got down to where you gotta know how to change a com port or that, it lost me, Lloyd.
Yeah, I just came from eating breakfast myself. Headed on over to my job. Like I said, they work us every single day. I've lost track of the last day I've had off.
When you can't even get Sunday off, it's supposed to be a day of rest, you know.
Exactly. They've worked us for months on end now, so I don't know. The money's good, but in the end, I don't feel like it's really worth it, though.
Did a job as an industrial electrician, electronic technician for 32 years, and I was on call 24 hours a day during that time. And it got to that point because they made us work Saturdays, and they made us work overtime. And then when it got to where they were making us work holidays, it just got to be, you know, do I change jobs or not? Because it really was a burden. You get called in at Thanksgiving or Christmas when your kids are home from college and that, and you can't even enjoy that.
Exactly. Last year they tried to make us work on Easter as well, Good Friday, so that was kind of like, that really sucked, but oh well. I guess it comes with the territory of working in the automotive industry.
You know, you was in the automotive industry, but that just stinks. I feel for you, I guarantee you. Well, how do you know how to change a com port? It says I'm supposed to change this from com port 1 to com port 3. Last time, my friend Bill did it for me. I don't know if Rusty knows how to do that or not. I'm going to ask him later when I hear him. But he got a lot of things running on there, and I'm very happy with it. I got my logging program going and my TQSL for Logbook of the World, and I really appreciate that. But I wish I could get my BandScope back. I really love that. And this radio that I got is a very nice radio, and I'm very happy with it. But no BandScope on it like there is the fancier ones.
I'm trying to set up my tablet I just got the other day. Came in day before yesterday, and programs on it, but it acts like it doesn't want to allow me to do it. But I got a friend that can look at it and probably figure it out for me.
Good. Well, I hope Russ can figure this out. I hate to ask him. I don't like bothering anybody, and I very rarely do. But when you get deep into this computers, I just lose it. Well, what do you do at the automotive industry, Lloyd?
I actually drive a forklift. I load trucks for mainly for BMW, but just about everything I do is BMW parts, but we also do Volvo and Peterbilt, Freightliner, Thomas Bus, and Kenworth, and Nissan, Ford, stuff like that, too.
I can relate to that. Well, after that plant shut down I worked at for 32 years, I went to work at a printing plant for a year, and then they laid off 9 of us. They had a efficiency expert come in and said we was too heavy in maintenance, which we were not. And because they absolutely put it on you every minute when you was there. And so I buddy of mine kept asking me to go to work at this wheel plant called Superior Wheels up in Pittsburgh, Kansas. And there was 900 people working there. I went to work there. Worked a year on the overhead cranes back by the aluminum melting pots at 1,100 degrees. And then they asked me if I wanted to go to the machine shop, and I worked there for the rest of my 4 years before they shut the plant down and sent it to Mexico. And lost 900 jobs there in that small town. It was really bad. But I saw what the forklift drivers did, and their foot was to the floor all the time loading those trucks. Because everything for the automotive industry has to be on time. And so if it had to go to Detroit or wherever, buddy, it had to get out. And those guys were just running around like a chicken with their head cut off.
For just a minute, a guy from my job's talking to me.
Roger, in Gerald TR.
Yeah, I am back. I might have a bit of good news. The guy whose dock I'm going to be on, he's leaving right now because there's nothing to do until tomorrow.
Right. I'll tell you, they ran those forklift drivers crazy there at that wheel plant. We made 50,000 to 80,000 wheels a month for mostly General Motors, but a lot of the other car manufacturers too had wheels coming through there. All the way up to the biggest ones was the Hummers. And those poor guys on those forklifts, they'd really tear the heck out of the forklifts, let me tell you. I didn't have to do anything but electrical on the forklifts. But the pallet jacks and stuff, they just run the legs off of them guys. And their foot was absolutely to the floor, constantly running in and out, loading those trucks.
That sounds a lot like me, just 100 miles an hour the whole day, most times.
I used to, if I didn't have anything to do, I'd go back and I'd refuel those things. They were run on propane. I kind of enjoyed that. It was outside, unless it was winter time. But we had a pump on the propane tank, and it would fill those tanks rather fast. But most of the time they had guys to do that. But if they didn't, and we worked weekends on preventative maintenance, I would go out there and fill them for them because I had a lot of experience with propane.
We got to fill up our own forklifts whenever we get low. We don't have somebody to do that for us.
He's certified to do it. I remember that. And we had to be certified to drive a forklift and go to forklift school and stuff like that. Well, on maintenance, sometimes you had to be able to drive a forklift. And then the overhead lifts like the JLGs and the Condors and stuff like that. It was always something, so it kept it interesting anyway.
Driving the forklift for God knows I forgot how many years now, but excuse me. I come here and of course they had to make sure you could drive a forklift and operate it safely and everything. But I've pretty much done that for, like I said, probably straight the last I don't know 5 or 6 years straight. But I've probably got, I don't know, maybe 14, 15 years experience doing that.
Toyota forklifts for the most part, but I've worked on them, and oh, there was Yale, what was the other one? Gosh, I forget yet. Didn't have as many of them, but it seemed like the Toyotas were the best ones. I think there was even some Nissan ones, but the Toyotas were the ones that held up the best.
I think you're probably right with that. I've had experience with the Toyotas, the Lindys, the Yales, and we got this other one that's kind of like a Yale, but those things are garbage.
I worked on a lot of cranes that were made by Yale in Budget, and then the German ones, Mag something or other, Mag Lift, I forget. They were a booger to work on. They kept blowing up because they didn't have it, the relaying configured right, and I finally just redone it, and that stopped all of the blowing up. It was all 480 volts, three-phase stuff. And then I worked on cranes up to 50 tons in our plant, and they sent me over to the railroad once to work on a 250-ton one once. And that was a big one. But the 50-ton, it was huge, too.
Yeah, a guy got killed by one of our cranes right before Thanksgiving. He was training, and he really didn't want to do it anyway. But he was training, and he had a slight movement in it the wrong way, and he panicked and hit the wrong button, and it smashed him.
Yeah, that can be dangerous. I was also authorized to drive the overhead cranes, and I did, because I had to repair them. And I was the only one who knew how to repair them in our plant. And they called me in one night, and I had to restring that, I think it was 3/4 inch cable or 1 inch on the 20-ton, and stand out there without a safety belt on in between the two main beams and try to pull that up by myself. It was just practical. And then I got it over there, and I couldn't bend it in a loop to put that clamp on it onto the drum. And so I hollered down the superintendent, and I said, "Larry, if you don't get somebody up here to give me a hand, I said, I'm going to drop this cable and go home." It was like, you know, in the middle of the night. And finally a guy come up there, and the first thing he did was grab a hold of my leg and said, "Don't you fall, Tom. How do you get your hands off my leg?" And nobody else had the guts to come up there, and this guy was scared to death of heights. But we finally got those two great big old 1-inch bolts down to hold that clamp on it. But we had a couple of guys hurt really bad there, and some real close calls with the overhead cranes.
The guy that got killed, he got smushed by probably maybe 80 or 90,000 pound die. He got crushed in between that one and another one. And I remember I was on the dock loading up a truck, and one of the leads came by and said, "Everybody needs to go to the cafeteria. Stop what you're doing right now. Go to the cafeteria." And I was like, "Well, let me finish." He said, No, stop right now what you're doing and go to the cafeteria." So when I started questioning what was going on, they said somebody got killed behind the line. And I was like, uh-oh. So I kind of figured what had happened.
Yeah, we had a guy had a big gear hooked to a jib crane, and he didn't have it secured right. And when he turned around, it fell over and cut his leg off. Then we had another one. We had a kiln, and they're 12 foot in diameter, and they're 1.5 inch thick steel. And he was working night shift and using a little of those funny cigarettes, is what I was told later, but very little was in his system, but there were some. And this was sitting on a drum roll so they could weld it. And as it moved, and it rolled off of the drum roll and crushed him. He lived, but not very well after that.
Horrible way to go.
He was preheated to several hundred degrees that fell on him. And they said that might have saved his life because it kind of cauterized where the massive injury was. I think he lost his arm. But they'd been heating it to get it up to temperature so they could weld it. You had to have it at a certain temperature. This thing was 12 foot in diameter, you know, and 12 foot long. So I don't know what it weighed, but it sure was big, boy.
That sounds pretty nasty there. I'm telling you, that's the last way I would want to go. This guy that got killed, he has several family members that work out here, and one of them she just really broke down and started wailing while they were telling us what had happened. So, yeah, it was a pretty sad event.
We, when we worked at the printing plant I worked at, the maintenance people were the security people. And they would call you to any emergencies that happened out on the floor, including shooters or anything else. And one night they called everybody to this line that did Ritz cracker boxes, I remember. And it was real, real fast, thousands per hour. And she leaned over and got her hair caught in the machine, and it sucked her down to her head. But she lucky it didn't take her head off, and they got it stopped. And they finally got her out of it, and they thought she was dead. And they put one of those AEDs on her, those shockers, you know. And the AED says, "Do not shock." And she wasn't dead. She was just passed out. And that was another one that was pretty exciting.
That was scary.
Short haircut out of it. shoot. Well, I'm glad you don't have to work today. I better let you go. I got some things I got to do, and the kids are coming over to get this boat out of the backyard after a while, and I need to kind of get squared away here. You have a good day, and I'll be clear with your final. This is N0TR.
You have a good day, too. KQ4LOO.
I got your name mixed up, I think. I thought you was Lloyd, but you're not. Give me your name.
Al Swofford Talmadge.
I'm sorry, Tal. I just wanted to apologize to you for that. I looked it up here, and there's another guy in there, Lloyd, and I can't remember his call, but it's pretty close to yours. Anyways, 73s, and have a good day. I can put it in my log now, N0TR clear.
Roger that. No need to apologize, but thank you anyway. KQ4LOO, I'm out.